remember vividly the day in November as we were getting closer to the end of the month, and I was praying for the church, praying about the upcoming year, and all of a sudden a supernatural peace came across the surface of my heart, and I felt the Spirit of God instruct me to lead the church into this time of fasting and prayer that's ahead. And a great peace came with that, which, of course, is always an assurance. If you've walked with God long enough, you know the difference between when God's leading you to do something and when you're trying to make something happen. Have you ever tried to make something happen? You ever tried to kick a door open that God hadn't opened yet? Ever get impatient at a green light or at a fast food restaurant? Hello? And there's times when it's not now, but there's other times when you know it's the right time, it's the right circumstance. And I know it sounds almost sadistic to say it. I'm excited about this time of fasting and prayer. I know it just sounds wrong to some people because the idea of fasting is just like anathema to them. It's just like, oh, don't ask me to do that. And yet, the Bible is very, very clear about the incredible benefits that come with this particular type of obedience. It wasn't if you fast. Jesus said when you fast. It was understood that dedicated disciples would do this. They would follow the Lord along that line of obedience. And yet it's always amazed me through the years how many Christians I know that have served God longer than I have, that have never fasted a day in their life. And I'm like, something didn't get wired up right here. Because the way I read the scripture, there are those times, there are those moments when God directs us spontaneously to fast. There are other times where, in a structured sort of way, as directed by the church or in special times or seasons, is prepared and planned. And I just know when God leads us like this, that really big stuff's ahead. Because he prepares his servants, his children, for the things that are coming. And there's a lot ahead. I don't know all that's going to happen, neither do you. But we are preparing ourselves for whatever it is the Lord has directed us to do. I'm going to, for just a moment, open the floor. Is there anyone here that has any question at all? As we're getting ready, and we're going to do some things in just a couple moments here. But is there anyone here that has a question along these lines? I have had some people privately ask me some questions. And so we've answered those and tried to help the saints in that way. But maybe you're still struggling with how you're supposed to fast. There's more information on the website in that message from Sunday. We talked a little bit about some of the differing means of fasting that are available, but whatever God is leading you. If there's anyone we would be glad to address here for just a couple of moments, if you have any questions from yourself or from a previous experience or something you've read or something you've heard, I will tell you this. There are more ways to fast than just one. Some years ago, when my brother was having back surgery at Fitzsimmons Medical Center in Denver, I had gone with my brother and family to help kind of care for his kids and whatever else the needs may be while he was in surgery and afterwards, and I was fasting. But I wasn't on an Esther fast, food and water. I wasn't on a 40-day Jesus fast, nothing but water, but I was in a Daniel type of fast where I was just partaking of liquids only. And I had somebody accuse me of cheating. No kidding. Somebody accused me of cheating because they thought the only kind of fasting was water only, and I took him to the Bible, and nobody ever showed him that. There are other ways to fast. It is precisely a matter of conviction, but don't cop out. Somebody contacted me and said, you know, I just hated when you said make it hurt a little bit. I hated that. Well, we got to stretch ourselves a little bit. The thing that concerns me, can I say this without sounding wrong? The thing that concerns me about the American church is we're getting softer and softer and softer. We don't seem to understand the value of sacrifice. We don't think we have to sacrifice anything. We think it's just nothing but comfort and enjoyment all the time. But there's a reason why the Bible calls it a fight of faith. There's a reason why it's called a fight of faith, because it's a fight. And there's times where it's not going to be fun. But when we obey God and we do the things that he directs us to do, incredible things. I mean, it's what's coming. It's what we're after, not the little bit of sacrifice that God may require of us or ask of us. And when all of a sudden the miracle happens and the blessing falls and people start getting saved and touched and healed and miracles begin to occur, and then you go back and think, oh yeah, we prepared and we fasted and it led to this. It's like, boy, it was worth it, wasn't it? You don't often think about when the blessing begins to manifest itself, what you did to get there. But anybody got any questions about anything? Go ahead.
What if I don't hear specific instructions from God on how or what to fast? Why do you say it's between us and God and not just tell us what to do?
There's a reason why I tell you that. You know why? Why do I say that? Even though it leaves some things hanging, why do I say that? Well, for three reasons. Number one, I don't want to be caught dead of legalism. Legalism is like somebody telling you, I want to make sure, second of all, it's a process of you in your own walk and relationship, the stretching that goes into that. Like 95% of my life is the struggle of trying to hear from God. You know, that constant grind, am I hearing from God? Am I not hearing from God? Is this God? Is this not God? And there's that 5% of the time I go, oh, praise God. There's that process of faith. Now, I could say to you, this is the way I want everyone to do it. But the problem with that is, number one, there might be some folk in our midst that can't do that particularly. Let me say, for example, if I challenged you to fast 40 days with nothing but water, well, there's a problem already in any body of believers of those that have diabetic concerns that may not be able to do that medicinally. So therefore, they need to hear from God in some other manner and still be able to do so in a way that's going to be a sacrifice, but yet is also going to somehow connect them to what the body is doing. So I want people to hear from God. Now, the thing is, in Scripture, what Esther heard from God was different than what Daniel heard from God, was different from what Jesus heard from his father, was different, you following this? There were differing contexts and differing situations, and there's not just one way to fast. And that is a manner that is between you and God. Now, if I were to take the next 60 days and go to the Oldenburg Monastery and hang out there and just stay on the campus and not do anything other than just pray, it might be easy to function in that manner. But with regular requirements and schedules and responsibilities, that may not be functional. But there's other ways to fast. You can still keep your legs under you and do the things that God has directed and commanded you to do. So one thing, I don't ever want to get sucked into legalism. Second of all, I want to make sure that when we present it, it is between you and God. Because how God might speak to Charlie may be different than how he speaks to John. And both would be right. And understand, believe me, I understand that, because there's times when I ask God, somebody wanting to know what I was going to do. Somebody kept pressing me and saying, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I kept saying, well, I'm praying about it. They said, oh, you got to tell us. I kept thinking, well, does that mean that you're waiting for me to tell you? And I hesitate to do that. Not that I won't give you the biblical paradigms. Okay, I'll do that gladly. But then it has to be an individual conviction, because I want you to hear from God on this matter. I've always challenged people, pray, seek his face the best way you know how. Maybe this is a stretch. Maybe it's not something you have done in your experience, or maybe you have not done often. Stretch yourself a little bit. Maybe you've never fasted an entire day. I double doggone dare you, try it once. You might like it. You've done that. Maybe you would say, I'm going to fast 3 days. I've had somebody say, well, when is this going to end? And we've got kind of a timetable in mind. You know, we're thinking about January. I'm going to challenge as part of the service tonight. I'm going to challenge as many of us that can, do everything you can between now and Sunday. I'm going to challenge all of us, these next 3 days leading into Sunday, do your dead level best to fast as much or in the greatest capacity you can. Now listen, here's something I want to share with you. You maybe never have had anybody tell you. Let's not get sucked into, several years ago I had a young guy that I knew really, really well. He was a close friend of our family, and he was talking to me about running a marathon. And at that time, I was jogging about 10 to 15 miles a day. I can't do it now because of all the back work I've had done, but in those days, I did a lot of that sort of stuff. And so he was asking me, when I completed the South Bend Marathon some years ago, he said, did you run the whole thing without stopping? I said, no. He goes, really? I said, no. I said, I walked in various places. I said, the goal isn't to do it without stopping. The goal is to finish. Just finish a marathon. This race is about finishing. All right? So, in the midst of fasting, let's say you take a big step of faith and you say, bless God, for the next 3 days, I'm going to have nothing but water. God bless you. Really. But what happens if you get to the point where you're about ready to eat your socks? I mean, you're just so beside yourself. It's okay if it gets that bad to just nibble a wee bit. Now, don't go down to the Golden Corral and dive in the middle. But I mean, it's okay if it gets that bad to take in a little bit of yogurt or some other kind of thing. You're not going to get God mad where he's chasing you down with a 4x4 with a spike. That is not what this is about. This is about a process of denial. And it isn't that there may not be along the way, maybe you have to nibble on a little something or drink a little bit more than what you anticipated. God isn't going to get angry about that. The goal is finishing this level of sacrifice and commitment. And if you need to do a little something to get through a particularly difficult, or I mean, if you got to stop and get a Snickers, it's all right. I just think we missed the point. Now, challenge yourself, and if you can do it, praise God. The benefits physically, you're going to notice right away. They say that during these times of denial, that after the first 12 hours, your body starts dumping toxins. Just 12 hours into it, if you don't have anything but water or some very, very watered-down type of juice, 12 hours into it, your body starts dumping toxins. And you're going to start feeling better, although maybe for a moment or two you might be a wee bit cranky. Hungry can be turning into hangry, you know. For a moment or two, there might be a little bit of a stronger breath as your body is processing out some of this stuff. But I can assure you within a couple of days, a lot of that begins to pass. And you're going to feel better. Your skin's going to look better. There's incredible physiological benefits. Now, hearing from God about this, as Paul Davidson, one of my mentors, used to say, we got to pound out some things on our own anvil. And that's that process of seeking God. And if God doesn't specifically hit you over the head and say, I want you to do it this way, then challenge yourself. If you have to take a wee bit of a step to get through a tough patch, that's all right. Then get right back into the flow and continue on the race, continue on the process. It isn't easy, but this is between you and God, and I don't want to tell you how to do it. I can present you the paradigms, and then it's left to you. It was a lot easier 20 years ago for me to do what I do now. And yet, there still can be a process using wisdom, using prudence. You know, maybe depending on the situation, you may challenge yourself. But I was sharing something this Sunday. Years ago when we were pastoring in Vincennes, we went on a 10-day fast in the congregation. We had a retired minister that his wife had passed away. He had identified with our congregation. And I don't know how, but he claimed he had never been on any fast ever. And he had been a minister of the gospel. I was going, he fasted the whole 10 days. Nothing but water. At that point, I was still green and wet behind the ears. I called for, after that 10 days was over, we had a pitch in. And we just said, come bring all your stuff. And we put it on the table and we just gorged like fools after 10 days of not eating. And that minister had to go in the hospital. Because he took in some stuff and he called me up. He goes, preacher, I'm dying. I should never have been. I said, no, it's not about ending the fast. I'm responsible. I never should have called for that potluck after that fast. That was really dumb. And maybe you thought we should have had one tonight leading into. You still got a few hours when we get done tonight to head on out to the Mexican restaurant or wherever you want to go. I won't dictate on matters. This is an issue between you and you pray, you seek God. If you're getting to a point where you had some change happen and you can't necessarily do what you once did, I still encourage you to stretch yourself in some capacity. But yet, if God doesn't give you specific direction, there are times he lets you make the decision. How many of you know that to be true? I learned that the hard way years ago. I used to think it was only about one thing, one way. And I've learned God often gives us a lot of latitude. I mean, like driving down State Road 32 coming to church, you know, there are ditches on purpose. I can go from one side to the other. I can still get here. The ditches are there for a reason, right? I shouldn't drive the left part of it, but sometimes I do. God's will has some latitude in this. And if God hasn't specifically said to you, go 3 days without food and water, I've done that before. It was a real challenge beyond anything I'd ever done. And there are other religious groups in the world that do varying kinds of fast. You may be familiar with that. And in all capacities, a lot of the various religious sects have their own uniqueness in this regard. But for Christians, we have the biblical paradigms. If God hasn't given you a direction, then he gives you some latitude to make those decisions. And challenge yourself and say, God, I'm going to ask you for the strength and the wisdom and the guidance. You may even enter into this time of fasting, not just about us as a body. And I've challenged you Sunday, and I'll say it again tonight. There is absolutely nothing wrong with saying, God, while I'm fasting as the body, I'm believing you for this. I've got some of that. And again, he gives us a lot of freedom. Now, what I was going to say earlier is maybe this is a real stretch. So if you've never ever really done this before, I challenge you to do something, but maybe you don't want to say, oh, I've never done it before, so now I'm doing 40 days. Well, maybe, praise God if it happens, but it may be a great start to say, let's go for a full 24 hours first. Let's do that. And I'm going to tell you, once you begin to take God's hand in yours and ask him for strength and ask him for wisdom and direction, you're going to be surprised. I had never fasted longer than 3 consecutive days leading up to a fast. God called me to do 21 days. I'd done 3 days a couple of times, and to be honest, I cheated a little bit of that. I'd never really done anything beyond 3 days. And then I had the Lord speak to me and challenge me going to 20. I'd never done 21 days. I had an argument with God. I said, God, I've never done more than 3, and I cheated part of that time. I don't know how I can get to 21. And I felt the Lord specifically direct me into a 21-day fast. And I did fast those 21 days. And after that, a revival fell where 300 people got saved in 8 weeks. And after the 300 people got saved, it was well worth all of that sacrifice. Now, I don't know what God's fully up to, but I believe this. If 100% of us do what we can between us and God, now, no one's going to look askance at anyone or fight with anyone or anything else. It doesn't mean you're more spiritual than another person. It's between you and God once again. And that's why I know that some just like to keep it very private. I understand that. And again, these are matters that you seek the face of God. You ask for his wisdom. You ask for his direction. Every fast is a challenge because it's fighting the flesh. The flesh doesn't like to deny. It wants to indulge. Right? The flesh doesn't like to be told no. It wants to say yes and above. There's something about our old man, the sarx, the natural constitution, our sin nature, that likes to not do any of this. It doesn't want to be told no to anything. Well, once we do that, we're fighting against that part. And if you can say no this way, you can say no in a lot larger ways. But this is a great challenge to us. There can be physiological things. There can be nutritional things. And there are times, if you have concerns, you should do further research or even talk to your doctor. And there's ways to get from here to there and still be a part of what God is leading, though all of us may do it in some differing ways. Tonight, we're going to spend some time in prayer together. Here is something I really feel impressed to do. We often need to identify what it is we're wanting God to do. And I'm talking about you as a believer. You have things that I know you're praying about, because I know things I'm praying about. You may not know what I'm praying about. I may not know what you're praying about. And there may be stuff at times that is on the periphery that nobody knows anything about, but you're smack dab in the middle of it. And we're praying as a body for a flood of fullness to come across our paths in 2020. But there may be things you want God to do for you, for yours, your family, your health, your finance, you name it. It doesn't mean that if you fast 40 days, God's going to give you a house in Malibu. I'm not saying that. We're not into this blab and habit stuff. These are matters that are clearly between us and God, but I do believe with all of my heart there are some things that will never happen if we don't fast. It's biblical. It says it. Scripture is very clear on this. And so there are things that I believe will happen. And I believe the process will begin as you follow the Lord in obedience. However, and if God doesn't give you a specific mandate in some way, then just say, well, how can I be stretched? And start there. If it's a day or 3 days, praise God. At least the first snippet is Wednesday to Sunday, okay? So that's a snippet of 3 days plus a little bit more. So let's try as a body to focus on these next 3.5 days. Now, I will be praying for you, and have you be praying for me. We all need to pray for one another. Over those next 3.5 days, as we agree together. Now listen, this is the exciting part. Here's the exciting part. Scripture says, one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. Not 2,000. One 1,000, two 10,000, which tells you in agreement there is an exponential factor. It isn't addition, it's multiplication. So you take one putting 1,000 to flight, two putting 10,000 to flight. That tells me if we as a body can come together in obedience. God gave us this. I didn't think, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, we're entering into 2020 and we ought to fast the beginning of the year. That just makes sense. And it was none of that. God specifically, end of November, can tell you where I was and what I was doing when all of a sudden the presence of God just came and I knew what we were supposed to do. Now, if that be true, if we agree and come together and do this, then things are going to happen in an exponential way. And you do whatever God lays on your heart. If he doesn't give you a specific mandate, then choose one. That's a challenge and a stretching sort of thing. I told you Sunday, and I'll say it again. Bill Parks used to say, if you fast and don't pray, you're just dieting. So you got to couple that denial with prayer and gives it a turbocharging, right? But on the other hand, don't call it a fast if you're already doing it anyway. If it's something you're already doing and it's already a non-entity in your life, that's not a fast. That's already a matter that's been at some level resolved. So you want to stretch yourself and you want to do something that's going to put you into an opportunity, the simpler, the better, denial, whatever level, and according to your faith, so be it. Whatever God would direct you to do, just allow him to stretch you. And if he doesn't give you some particular guideline, then stretch yourself. Choose one as unto God, as unto the Lord. Lord, I'm doing this in faith because I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that. And we're going to spend some time in prayer. I'm going to challenge you tonight in the next few moments. If you got a scrap of paper, something you can write on, what I want you to do in the next 2 or 3 minutes, I want you to write down what you want God to do. And I want you tonight, on a scrap of paper, no one's going to look at this except you. You're going to write it down, and maybe you'll even do it while we're praying in the next little bit. Do you know why we write things down like this? So when God does it, we can say, see, I wrote this down. I asked God to do this. And then when he does it, you see the hand of God in it. Now, I don't know what you specifically want God to do and what you're asking God to do. But I want you to write down some things, God willing, you'd like to see happen. It might be the salvation of brothers and sisters or children. It could be a turnaround in some physiological way. You got something going on in your life. Maybe there are some financial needs that nobody knows about. Maybe there's some upcoming other things that you don't quite know what to make of those. Not to mention what we're praying for as a body, because we have things that we're believing God's already doing, and we're going to believe God to help us do. In the upcoming months, God willing, we not only want to finish some capital projects we've been talking about, but we're already talking about and we're looking at it and praying about it. We want to see the Lord help us eliminate the entire debt on this ministry. We want to pay off all the debt. I don't know how long it's going to take to do it, but we're going to pray to God to help us to do that and still do the capital improvement kinds of things. It's going to take money, and we don't know where it's going to come from. But God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the diamonds in the mine, and even the taters under the hills. He controls it all. And we're going to pray that wherever it has to come from, even persons that are supposed to be a part of this ministry, we're going to call from the north, the south, and the east, and the west for God to bring in the people wherever they are that should be attending here, that have leadership capabilities and giftings and talents that can help us to further expand this ministry. We're going to pray for God to lead us and direct us. And there are signs, wonders, and miracles we want to see happen at these altars for persons that need a touch. And not just that, but a host of souls to be saved through the ministries of the church this year. How about people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost? How about people getting healed of terminal illnesses? I mean, whatever it is that you'd say, I want God to do this. I'm believing. Write it down. And you're going to put that somewhere where you're not going to forget about it. And during these days of fasting ahead, you're going to pull that out and you're going to say, God, I'm believing you to do this. I'm asking you to do this. You're going to present it. And perhaps continuing on through the year, you keep bringing that out. You keep putting it before the very throne of God. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. Before I dismiss you tonight and ask you to be getting at midnight tonight to take the hand of God in yours and walk with him through this season of fasting and prayer, we're going to have a time of prayer together as a body. I want us to take the next 15 minutes or thereabouts. I want us to dedicate these next many days to God. I want us to dedicate our own lives. Can I say something tonight? If there were some things that happened in 2019 you're really embarrassed about, you wish you'd never said, you wish you'd never done, lay it at the foot of the cross tonight and repent of it. Let all that go. That was 2019. Let all of it go. No matter how you may have failed someone or failed yourself or failed God, there's two parts of forgiveness. The one part is to know God's forgiveness. The second part is to forgive ourselves. And I want us tonight, you may need to do some of that. This is between you and God. You may have some things you want to say, God, I know I messed up. I know I failed. Let's leave that in 2019. Can we? Let's just put that at the foot of the cross tonight. Say, God, I'm putting it behind me. I'm moving into a new year. It's a new beginning. And through fasting and prayer, I'm going to go through a process of repentance and cleansing. And God, you're going to do incredible and mighty things. And about 15 minutes after 7, we're going to come together in the front. We're going to pray together. Dedicate yourself. Dedicate your family. Dedicate your ministry. Dedicate your call. Whatever it is that God has laid upon your heart. The needs that are in your hand. The things you want to see God do in this coming year. Dedicate that now.